Set your phasers to sexy. Hey, you reading comic books, like the way you look, like the way you always mess with your hair, playing PS3, it's just you and me.
Welcome, loyal listeners, to another episode of True North Nerds.
Yay!
This week, Kevin's not here because he is taking a little bit of a break to see some musician friends of his. But in the meantime, we are going to be discussing Dune 2.
Part 2.
Part 2. And we will be discussing them with Jen.
Hi.
And Ryan.
Hello.
And me, I'm Brent.
Hi, Brent.
Before we get into all that, though, we do like what we do every episode, and we talk a little bit about the news. Ryan?
Yes?
What is in the news?
Okay, I'm gonna start off with some bummer news. Because we might as well start off on a sad note. In our last, since our last episode, we have lost a pioneer in the manga and anime industry, I'd say. Akira Toriyama, creator of Dragon Ball, an influential, and person who influenced many a manga and anime after him, passed away. He passed away at the age of 68 following a subdural hematoma. So, yes, there have been many an image and video posted in his memory over the last few weeks with lots of Dragon Ball pictures and stuff like that in it. But, yeah, so that's our first bummer note. The second one, there's a lot of people out of work. The ongoing financial issues of Warner Brothers Discovery has caused the close down of internet pioneers of Rooster Teeth Productions.
Mm.
They have been in business for 21 years, and Warner Brothers has decided to close the doors on them. Now, I have been a fan of theirs for probably not since the whole 21 years. Like, they were already doing Red versus Blue when I found out about Red versus Blue. So probably within the first or second season, maybe, is when I learned about it. But, yeah, they've done a lot of really cool things and a lot of interesting videos and they were at the forefront of podcasting. And yeah, now they're being shut down and it's still up in the air what's going to be going on with some of their properties and podcasts. Some of the podcasts and stuff are still going on. But most things will still be running for, it was 60 days of the announcement, so they've given them 2 months to kind of work on things and shut things down. Some of the podcasts and groups may continue in other forms, under other names, because, well, you can't stop people from working together, but they may not be able to use the same name.
I hope all their back stuff doesn't go off, because I'm still enjoying Tales of the Stinky Dragon.
Yeah.
And I'm still, I think, 2 years behind, so I have a lot to catch up on, but I wanted to keep going. It's so good. Like, the production value of that podcast is amazing. It's so good. So I hope they'll be able to, maybe not at that level anymore, but I hope they'll still be able to continue something.
Yeah, here's the hope. But, yeah, I don't see, unless they sell the IPs to somebody, I don't see stuff like, you know, audio that's on, like, you know, it's on SoundCloud, it's on wherever, unless they just decide to delete it. But that wouldn't make sense. You're just saving space on a server.
Yeah. I hope not. If they delete it and I'm not done it, I'm going to be mad. Like, you don't need to delete this. Just let me finish it.
Yes. Yeah, so that happened. On the bright side, we did get a bunch of new trailers for stuff over the last 2 weeks. We got a trailer for the new Fallout Amazon series. Brent, you're a Fallout player, are you not?
Kind of. I'm not hardcore, but like I really liked 3 and New Vegas, which is very typical amongst Fallout players. The 3 especially is the game that like is just so good. I sank so many hours to it. It may be the last RPG game that I played that much. Like I did 2 playthroughs of it. And
oh, wow.
Yeah, and the I was on my way to a 3rd, and then my Xbox died. this feels like the best way I've been explaining it is this feels like Fallout. Like they've gotten the look and the sound of it right, and a little bit of the humor. I'm curious what the story is beyond, you know, a vault dweller going out into the real world, because to be fair, that's the basic start of all Fallout stories.
Yeah.
So I will definitely take a watch of it, especially since it's on Amazon, so I've already got that service. I don't even have to like really seek it out.
I've never played those games, I've just like seen the trailers, the videos, the promotional stuff. And this trailer, you know, it looks like an interesting series. Kind of looks like gives me a feel of like early Walking Dead, and like just the tone, not the zombie part, just like the tone, where it's like, you know, people are the real things. But I'll be looking forward to watching it.
What else is in the trailer docket?
Well, this one we got to see when we went to the movies. We got to see a new Furiosa trailer. What?
I'm not a big Mad Max fan.
And that's fine. But it still looks like it was still a, you know, it still looks like it's going to be another pretty movie. Like that last Mad Max movie, Fury Road, was a very pretty movie.
I'm looking forward to it. I'm curious to see how this fits in everything. Apparently George Miller has been saying that, like, obviously Mad Max isn't the focus of this, although it could be argued he wasn't the focus of the last one either. But that he is like sort of creeping around the edges of this story.
Yeah, well, I think this, so from the majority of, for the most of this movie will be a prequel to Fury Road and those characters. But,
okay. So, well, I'll go see it.
Yep. I know Ed's excited for it. We were talking about it at dinner the other night, so.
Yeah, George Miller hasn't, like, as a director, he doesn't have, like, it's weird. You think, like, oh, he did the original Mad Max movies, but he doesn't have, like, a huge output in terms of films, and most of them are good. Like, I think he's only made, like, maybe 10 movies.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Yeah, I'm just looking it up now.
Yeah.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13 with Furiosa.
Awesome. Yeah, I was hoping if you'd have stopped at 12, I was gonna do the Sesame Street do. But you kept going.
Yeah, so like, and all of these movies, like a majority of these movies are good. The Mad Max, the original 3, The Witches of Eastwick, which I was unaware he was the director of, the one with Jack Nicholson and Cher, Michelle Pfeiffer, and Susan Sarandon. Lorenzo's Oil, which was like a big Oscar contender of the year it came out. Babe, which, and Babe Pig in the City, Happy really? Feet movies. Oh yeah, he has like that weird, like super like left turn kind of career yeah. in some parts. And you know, back to Mad Max, you know, there was also a point at the where he was like nearly doing the Justice League movie like years and years ago.
Yeah, that one, the one that never got made.
Yeah. So, yeah. What other, do you have one other trailer to talk about?
Oh, there's more. Don't worry. There's more than just one. Okay. I'm saving that one. I'm saving your rant.
So, I can rant for a while?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. No, I meant to write it down, then forgot, then remembered, then forgot, then remembered. The other video game movie trailer we saw.
Borderlands.
That's what it was. It was when I read Fallout, I was like, oh wait, I forgot to write that other one down. But yes, so we saw the first trailer for Borderlands, which is another game I barely play. I played a little bit with you. We started.
Yeah. If Drew ever gets it, you and I should like maybe try and tackle the first one. Like if it's ever on super cheap again.
I'm actually kind of looking forward to the Borderlands movie.
Yeah, I think it's going to be a fun one.
It reminds me of the game. Fun. Yeah, but it reminds me of the game, but this definitely also, like, and maybe not in a bad way, the trailer really you know that Guardians of the Galaxy movie? What if we did that, but more violent?
Yeah. Yep, I get that. I get that vibe.
All right, so next.
Next. So this trailer came out as an announcement, and this is something that's already available on Disney Plus as of this recording. Have you watched it yet, Jen? The Taylor Swift Eras Tour is now on Disney Plus.
No, I haven't watched it yet. I was waiting for you.
Okay. I didn't know if you were or not. I haven't watched it yet either. So. I watched a lot of stuff today, but I didn't watch that.
Yeah. I played a lot of Sims today. I didn't get very much done.
Oh, I get stuff done today, but then I also decided I wanted to become one with my couch, and so I did.
Yeah, I was trying to live vicariously through my Sims.
Wow.
Where I can make thousands of dollars by selling rocks.
Oh, nice. Yeah. I got up nice and early. I made breakfast. After breakfast, I did some side design work. After that, I did laundry. I had lunch. And then I watched two movies and a couple episodes of TV shows on Netflix. So
there you go.
Yeah.
That sounds like a nice day.
It was.
What movies did you watch, just out of curiosity?
I watched Starship Troopers for shits and giggles. It's been a while since I'd watched that. And I watched Damsel.
Oh, I kind of want to see that too. Was it any good?
Well, you'll find out more about that later.
Oh, is that your geek fix?
But, which is also the other reason I watched things today, so I'd have something to talk about during Geek Picks. but yeah, so Taylor Swift, Eras Tour, Taylor version is now available on Disney Plus. Another coming to Disney, this one is another musical documentary series, four parts, coming to Disney Plus in April is Thank You, Good Night, The Bon Jovi Story. I shared that trailer to you guys when I saw it. I was like, I'm interested. I'll watch it. Like sometimes these musical documentaries, if they're done right, are quite entertaining.
Four parts seems like a lot.
Bon Jovi was a big band.
That's true.
Yeah. What I'm curious about is like we go to the music nerd in me.
Yes.
Is So Bon Jovi's bass player, like their original bass player, like was, I can't remember if he was fired or quit the band and has never been heard from again, basically. So I'm very curious if he is involved at all.
Oh, did you not watch the trailer for this thing?
No, their guitar player's in there.
Oh, is that not the same guy?
Richie Sambora. No, like there's a bass player who during like that first high point, like New Jersey and Slippery When Wet.
Yeah.
Who left the band. Like I said, I can't remember if he left or was fired.
Oh, okay.
One of the two. And then, like, but like,
fame isn't it for everybody.
Yep.
Yeah. And then, you know, he just sort of disappears into the ether and never does like interviews or anything like that. Okay. So he at least joined them for the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame performance in 2018.
Oh, there you go.
Yeah.
At least they never forgot him.
Then I shared out a trailer for another new Netflix movie that's coming our way, starring Jennifer Lopez, called Atlas, which gave me a lot of Titanfall vibes.
I don't think I watched that one.
Hold on, I just read something. News alert for Brenta. The bass player that I was talking about, I did a little bit of digging. I'm guessing he was not involved in this documentary because he passed away in 2022.
Be a good reason for him not to be in it.
My bad.
Or he still could be in it, just not
archival.
Alive.
Yeah. Sorry, continue.
Okay, no problem.
Anyway, I did not watch the trailer for Atlas. What's it about?
Looks like Jennifer Lopez, sci-fi, maybe, I forget, lost on an alien world. She's at one point in a mech robot suit that looks like a Titanfall robot. And like, that's why at first I'm like, ooh, is this Titanfall? But no, it's called Atlas, which I think, isn't that one of the companies or one of the sides in Titanfall?
What's Titanfall?
That's the video game Brent and I used to play that had robot, the giant robots in it. You could jump in a robot and shoot people. It's in the same universe as Apex.
I thought that it was the anime with the giants.
No, that's Attack on Titan.
Yeah.
You had the word Titan in it. I was close.
Yeah, no, I understand. But, another movie that's coming to a streaming service that... You know, if you're already paying for the stroke service, might as well check out the movie, right?
Yeah. If you're having a day when you need to be one with the couch.
Yes, exactly. one of our favorite movies from the past year won an Oscar. The first Oscar for this franchise. Godzilla Minus One.
Barbie?
No, Barbie didn't win Best Picture. Godzilla Minus One won for Best Visual Effects.
That's awesome.
It was. The video effects crew, like the guys that accepted that have been doing the tours, they showed up, their shoes all had, Godzilla claws as for heels. So it looked like Godzilla was grabbing the bottom of their foot. He had a golden Godzilla with him. So that was great. And it was, the award was given out or like presented by Arnold Schwarzenegger and Danny DeVito, who, you know, you obviously expect them to come out and make Twins references, but instead they went the other route and made Batman references.
Yeah.
And I watched, and then, you know, I know you guys have both seen the clips. And if, so if you haven't seen it, go look it up, but, Michael Keaton sitting there in the front row or whatever. He's even wearing like an ascot, like he did with Bruce Wayne and Batman. There was an interview. He was on Jimmy Kimmel Live, I guess, the next day he was talking about how he brought, you know, he made sure that he brought an ascot and all this stuff. And they were running around trying to know if it was going to work and like what, you know, getting him out to the seat in time. And he just talked about just falling into that face. The Batman Bruce Wayne just, it's like, yeah. He is Batman. And then last but not least on my news notes, are you ready, Brent?
Yep.
Okay. We got a trailer for the latest version of The Crow. Cue Brent.
I watched the trailer. You guys both have too. I know because I kind of made Jen watch it. I've seen a lot of discourse online completely shitting on this trailer, which I get to a certain extent. The thing is like I kind of like sat back and thought about it a little bit more. I really like the original Crow movie. I'm a huge fan of it. I think it is a very good representation of how talented the director Alex Proyas was. His next movie, Dark City, is amazing. But it's also like kind of one of those things where you watch it and I don't know how good of an actor Brandon Lee would have ended up being. You can never really guess that when somebody's taken that young in their career, but it definitely shows that like he had a lot of promise. So those two things combined, plus the fact that like it's based in like because of how Brandon Lee dies on set, the movie has a mystique to it that normal movies don't have. But that being said, I am also kind of self-aware enough to know that the original Crow is a 90s as shit movie. Like the soundtrack is one of my favorite soundtracks of all time, but up and down, it is the prime music of that period, right? The time that it came out, that movie was just pumped to the gills due to MTV and things like that going on. And it is a very much a movie of its time. I'd really like to, like, if I could ever convince her to be on the show, I would love to hear someone of our former coworker Kaya, her age, watch it and give me like an honest review of it. Because like I'm really tied to it, and it's really tied to like my high school years, which I remember very fondly. That being said, I know it's tied to those years, and I think what some people are mistaking of like, oh, this was the best movie of all time, why would they remake it, blah, 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 is that like it's very much tied to that time period, and everything I see in this trailer is like that for kind of today's generation. Like if you look at how the Crow designed for Bill Skarsgård in this movie, he looks like modern rock stars look, you know, like bad haircuts, shitty tattoos. And I'm not saying this to dump on this generation's music choices, but like all you have to do is look at somebody like what's his name, guy who is like always tired above his
Post Malone.
There's a prime example. Guys like him and like all those rappers that I don't get, but this generation really, really likes, all have similarly bad tattoos and like, and basically appearance. The fight scenes in this movie, by the look of the trailer, are straight out of the John Wick playbook, which is also really tied into like the latest generation of action movies. So this like, I would say like for people, don't crap on this just because, you know, it was part of your teenage years. This could be a movie for their teenage years. This could be garbage. Like, quite frankly, The Crow does not have a good track record other than that first film. The second movie is okay at best, and after that it is diminishing returns. So well, that was one of the arguments. Oh, they're sullying the name of the crow with this. I'm like, any more so than the other three movies and television series?
Yeah, that nobody sold, seems that to name a long time ago.
I remember the television show being fun. Not good.
It was okay.
Fun. It was the era of the like Hercules and Xena kind of beat 'em up heroic. I can't, unless you would live through it, I don't know how else to describe it, but it's like the almost cheesy hero story.
It was syndicated television, like, of the time period.
Yeah.
The Hercules and Xenas and stuff like that.
Yeah, I love those shows, though, I'm not going to lie.
those are conveniently left out of the argument. You know what I mean? There's one good movie, one okay movie, and that might even be stretching it. I haven't seen City of Angels in quite some time. And two straight-to-video pieces of garbage. And one TV show that was sort of all right.
Well, you could say the same thing about RoboCop, really, right?
Oh, yeah.
Two good movies, some other movies, and some TV shows.
Honestly, the only thing that really bugs me about this version of The Crow is when they were starting off on this version, they were kind of saying that, like, oh, we're going back to the source material in the graphic novel. And again, they did not do that with this movie. It is pretty far away from the source material other than the basic plot.
Yeah, for me, I mean, I didn't see The Crow as a teenager, I don't think. I still like that movie. The new one, it's like what Brent was saying. It's not geared for our age group. It's not geared for people who loved The Crow as a teenager. I just don't like this trend where Jared Leto's Joker is now the cookie cutter for any kind of villain, or anti-hero.
Edginess.
Yeah, because, oh, God, he looks so terrible. Like, Jared Leto looked terrible. Bill Skarsgård in this one, in my opinion, looks terrible. And I get the reference. I get where it's coming from. But in my opinion, you can do that without the awful tattoos and the weird glowy teeth and the bad hair. And I don't know. I feel like they could have done a better aesthetic. But I also recognize I'm not the audience for this. They're not trying to gear it to appeal to me.
So what you're telling me is you won't be hanging a poster of this version of The Crow in your office.
No.
Okay. Or bedroom.
Well. So that's the end of my rant.
Good rant, Brent. Well done. And I'd say that's the end of the news for me.
I've got two. One is, we got an official announcement of something I've been waiting for forever. Apple TV is doing an adaptation of Neuromancer, the novel written by William Gibson, where we get the term cyberspace from. I hope it happens. I'm curious to see how they do it and if it's going to be good, because I've recently been reading the novel and it holds up really well. Some of the technology stuff is a little off because, well, the novel was written in the early 80s, but like other parts, like Gibson nailed it. So, I'm looking forward to it. If you've listened to the show and happened to catch me talking about this novel before, it's one of those books that I'm like, how has this not been a movie or a TV show by now? And now it's going to be.
So it means we need to have a movie night with somebody who has Apple TV because we do not have it.
And watch all 12 episodes of the first season or whatever it ends up being. The other one is just this is more of like, I guess, sort of like a technology streaming note, because we do kind of follow the streaming services here, because I think he might be the only one of us with cable. I don't remember if Kevin does or not. Kevin's got like multiple streaming services.
Yeah, I don't know anymore.
I don't know if he actually has cable. So it was announced this week that Netflix is getting into the boxing game with a live bout, with the main event being Jake Paul versus Mike Tyson, which there's probably a couple people listening to this and like, why is Brent talking about this? It's like, it's another sign of a streamer really getting into the business of live sports.
Well, it's it's really not just another streaming. It's Netflix flexing more muscle in that ring. Because yes. they've got the WWE contract that goes into effect next year. So it'll be interesting.
I just don't want this to be how Mike Tyson ends his career, being beaten by a dickhead like Jake Paul.
Oh, Mike Tyson's not going to get beaten by
Jake Paul. I also really want to watch
knock
Jake
that
Paul
kid
get
out.
Yeah, well, that's what everybody's hoping, but I don't know. I don't know anything about boxing. I just don't like people's careers ending on that. I think it's hubris on both parts. And money, of course. I'll watch the YouTube clip of him getting his ass kicked. But I wouldn't watch the show. But that's just me.
Yeah, it'll be interesting. I don't know. You know, I guess it all comes down to what time does it start? How many matches are on the card?
Yeah.
To see if I'm going to, it could be one of those, I just tuned in the next day just to watch that fight.
Yeah. Hopefully it only lasts like 3 seconds.
Well, it is a Mike Tyson fight, so it might, quite often they don't last very long.
Yeah, but I just, in my brain, I picture Jake Paul, like, with his gloves up, like, bouncing towards him, and Mike Tyson just goes, poof, and he's down.
Yeah. There were a number of fights that happened.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah,
it's as a former boxing fan, I haven't really followed the sport much in the last decade, but it's interesting in terms of gimmick fights like this, because make no exception, this is a gimmick fight. Jake Paul, not Logan Paul. Jake Paul is 27 years old. And is fighting a 57-year-old Mike Tyson, who has been more or less retired for, I'd say the last 15, 20 years. He's had a couple exhibitions, but not anything big. You get different things out of this, like as much as Joe Rogan is saying, oh, Jake Paul can fight. It's like Jake Paul can fight most of the tomato cans they've been throwing at him. Like, for the most part, he's been boxing ex-MMA fighters who are not known for their boxing ability. Mike Tyson was one of the best boxers in the world in his prime. The training videos with Tyson, he looks like an absolute monster, but like, that's also like, a professional fighter pointed out that like, yeah, but by the end of his like original fight career, his punch, like his hit resistance had sort of gone. Like if you tagged him pretty good, you rocked him. So it probably hasn't gotten better in old age, but like, you know, Tyson gets a hold of him and just like one good punch and he's done. That's the one thing about this for both guys is you don't, if it, it ends quickly, you don't get the riots like the old days where people paid upwards to like $150 for one of these pay-per-views. And
Tyson
ended
it
in like
the first 30 seconds.
There's one fight of Tyson's in particular, might have been his comeback fight, like after he was released from prison, that the national anthem is longer than the fight is.
Yeah,
so as much as I kind of find his fight sort of interesting in a weird, grotesque way, it's more the fact that Netflix is now thrown their lot into live boxing and more live sports that is intriguing, because that's really the difference with cable and streaming services for the most part. One of the big differences is live sports, and if streamers start getting into that more and more, what does that mean for everything else, right?
Are they even the same weight class?
This will probably be classed as an exhibition to get around.
Well, it is. But I'm just wondering, because like, that is a big deal in boxing. Like,
I don't know. It depends. Jake Paul might be going up.
Like, yeah.
He might want to go up and wait for this, which in itself can be an issue. Like, you move different when you're heavier than when you're lighter, right? Is
and also like you wouldn't have like a heavyweight wanting fighting a lightweight and expect anything other than the heavyweight knocking the guy out, really.
Yeah. The from my armchair experience.
Yeah. Same. I don't not think about boxing other than watching it on TV.
Yeah, it is. My guess is Paul's best bet is to try and outlast him, because I'm sure as much as he's been training, and like Tyson looks like he's kept in pretty decent shape on a whole. As much as he's been training, he hasn't been in boxing shape in quite some time. So his stamina and endurance is probably low. But him hitting those pads, it does look like he is still hitting like the monster that he was. So I wouldn't want to be in there with him.
Exactly. No, thank you.
Yeah. All right. So we go from there into Dune Part 2. Basically directed by
Denis Villeneuve, isn't it?
Villeneuve, thank you. And starring a whole whack of people, most notably Timothy Chalamet and Zendaya. I'll let you guys go first, because I think everybody can probably guess my thoughts on this movie. So let's start with Jen.
Oh, it was okay. I know nothing about Dune. I'd never read it. I'd never seen the old school movie with Patrick Stewart and Sting. So I really don't know what the plot is, other than they're fighting over the cocaine. So I liked the first
it's
one.
It's not cocaine. Okay. It's no, more it's, like acid.
It's the spices. Sorry. It's the Colonel's secret herbs and spices.
Yeah, right. The space element.
Coat their chicken.
So I'll give it, it's a middle movie. So I feel like it did well for a middle movie, but the problem with a middle movie, it doesn't really have a beginning or an end. It's the middle. So the first movie had a beginning. It set up the characters. It set up the world. You kind of got into it. You know, you learned a bit about the houses and stuff. And then it ended. It was a good movie, and it ended on a cliffhanger because it was the first. Then the middle one, it picks up, but it also ends kind of on a cliffhanger because it's the middle movie. So you're like, all right. It was basically just them hanging around the desert. Then they go to the black and white planet, and Elvis is there, and he was creepy. He looks exactly like a Sims 4 alien, by the way. Google Sims 4 alien, and then look at a picture of him. And even the outfit, the hair, the fit, everything. The whole time I'm watching it, I'm like, oh my God, I could make him in the Sims 4. But I really liked Florence Pugh as the Empress's daughter, or the Emperor's daughter, I should say. Although like she wasn't even mentioned in the first movie. So I was like, oh, he's got a kid. Huh? And apparently she's going to be a good empress one day, maybe, but probably not because men rule the world. So I don't know. It was okay. It was space Jesus. I do want to watch the last one to see how it ends. But you know, it's a middle movie. So I think I need the ending to order to make this a good movie. Okay, that's my 2 cents.
I enjoyed the movie. It was a very pretty movie.
It was.
When the Emperor started yelling, more, 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 I had to lean over to Jen and go, cowbell?
It was fun sitting next to Ryan in this movie. I'll give it that.
Yes, we had a good time.
I have questions about how things in that world function, but that's beside the point.
But, my experience with Dune is the original live action movie and then the FX or the Sci-Fi Channel, whatever it was called at the time in the States, their miniseries, which I own on DVD, Dune and Children of Dune. So when we got to the end of this movie, I was actually expecting more of an ending because like the miniseries ended slightly different. You know, his sister is born in that series.
The whole movie takes place in less than 9 months.
Yeah. Pretty much. Anyway, yeah, sorry, you think of it, no, that's true. I hadn't even thought, you know, it's good you said that because I hadn't even really thought of that, but you're right. Both movies, they...
Depending on when the daughter was conceived in the first movie.
Yeah.
The second movie at least takes place in less than 9 months.
Yeah.
I found that they had a hard time with time too. Like I was like, how much time has passed? What's going on?
Mm.
But anyway.
Well, especially since he went from being a outsider to, oh my God, like, it's
King
Space
of
Jesus.
The Fremen. Yeah. In less than 9 months.
Yeah. There you go. Just that easy, kids.
She went from being an outsider to the Holy Mother in like, yeah, all they had to do was drink poison. Then they
drink poison and have many years ahead of this of them, you know, planting the seeds for generations with their.
That's the only way. Prophecies. That's the only way that this makes sense.
Well, yeah, and that's what they did.
Which is why I'm glad they did that.
Yeah.
Anyway, I'm sorry I keep interrupting your review.
That's okay. We're having fun. It's all good. But yeah, no, I thought it was a good movie. It's one of those, the way I talked to somebody about it on the weekend, yesterday at the store, it was, if you liked part one, you'll like part two. If you didn't like part one, save your money and don't bother watching it. Cause it's more of the same. Like, if you didn't like part one,
you're
not
going to go to
part
two if you didn't like part one.
Well, I already saw part one, so maybe part two will be better. Yeah, well, if you didn't like part one, you're not going to like part two. It's the same universe. It's the same things. You get more worms. There's a little bit more action in this one than the first one.
I have questions about the worms, too.
Okay.
Okay, so they make a big deal about Javier Bardem's character, about how hard it is to harness the worms and how that's when you're a true Fremen and blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
And then they move, like, 70 people in, like, a city on their backs. Like, did the worms stop? How did they get, like, the palanquin and, like, the tent and, like,
they
50
just
people?
They just yeeted up there.
Yeah.
How did they all get on? How do they get off? The worms don't stop, and they're going fast. How do they get off? How do they get all that stuff off? Like, do they make the worm go around? Like, even if they were making the worm go around in giant circles, it's a big worm. It's going to be a big circle. It's going to be, like, hours before it gets back to its starting point again if you have to steer it in a circle to get more people to jump off at the same spot. Like, how do they ride the worms? It doesn't make any sense.
You gotta be good at it.
A single rider, yes. But to take like 30 people and a tent and, what's his face? Timothy Chalamet's uncle, who's never ridden worms before. He's there. He got on. How did he get on? Apparently you need to be so skilled.
Piggyback ride?
Yeah. So, yeah. I was like, how did they get all these people on the worms?
You have to be skilled to drive them. To do it on your own, to drive it. You know, you just need to have a hook to be able to climb on.
So how did they get on? And like, how did they get the Reverend Mother's little palanquin on there? And anyway, I was like, that's weird. That seems
lots
like a very...
effort and willpower.
I couldn't be... So that took me out of the movie a little bit as my brain was trying to figure out the logistics on how they get all of the Fremen on one worm.
Or that two worms. And all the times I made sandworm jokes to you, too.
Yeah.
About riding sandworms.
She's waiting to ride his giant worm. Anyway.
Yeah, we had some fun. I don't know how much of our little bits Brent heard, but...
No, I didn't hear any of them.
And then every so often
Watching the movie.
So were we. We were just being, you know, being witty about it.
Yeah.
And then we had somebody behind us who was talking a lot.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, did you?
Yeah, I just could hear some, like, a constant mumble.
Maybe they were mumbling for us to shut up.
Maybe. And then I had someone beside me that I had to nudge a few times.
Oh.
To make sure he wasn't falling asleep.
Yeah.
But yeah, no, what did you think of the movie, Brent?
I really enjoyed it. It's I'm not making the mistake of rereading the books until these three movies are over, because we are supposedly getting a third one. I can't really add too much to it, other than like I forgot that, like, I don't know if I forgot or didn't know Florence Pugh was in this movie at all when she shows up. The looks of this film are, like, just amazing, like, how well done, like, especially when we see the different worlds outside of Dune. Mm-hmm. Like, they really capture, like, how different they are from one another. Especially, like, the Harkonnen home planet.
Yeah.
Oh, where everything was black and white.
Yeah.
The fireworks were crazy.
Yeah.
That was cool.
That, like, so. Black, negative, positive, and just almost like goo exploding in the sky.
Yeah.
The one thing that was a little harsh was anytime we'd go from, like, inside to, oh, we're out in the desert. Boom!
Oh, my God. Goes
eyes, 'cause we just burned them out.
Did you hear me going, ah, every
yes,
time that happened?
Yes, I did.
It hurt. Can't they do like a fade or something? Not a boom, bright.
Nope.
Dark, black and white room. Boom, desert, midday.
So, yeah, I like really enjoyed it. I'm waiting very much for the next one. I will say, though, it kind of, like, just sort of like a weird thing. Like, I get why they cast Timothée Chalamet, and it's probably just completely coincidental and such, but wow, movie Zendaya has a type.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I felt bad for her in that movie. She got shafted.
Yeah.
Poor Zendaya.
You're
talking about the character, not the actual actress.
Yes. No, the character. I don't remember her name. Did she have a name? I'm pretty sure she did. They weren't big on names in that movie. They just talked to the direction of a person, and then the character answered back. Except for Paul. They said Paul's name a lot. Now I forgot what my point was. Oh, yeah. So
getting screwed.
So Timothée Chalamet, Space Jesus, elucidates this love of his life. Finally gets to meet her, and then he's like, actually, I'm going to be the emperor, and I'm taking all your people with me. Bye! Like, I was like, what a jackass! So I hope she kills him in the end. I really hope that's how this movie ends, that Zendaya gets to kill Timothée Chalamet.
I honestly don't remember the next chunk of this story very well.
Nobody tell me how it ends, because I have no idea how this story ends. Like I said, I've never seen anything Dune, so I don't know how it gets resolved. I assume he ends up becoming the emperor, but I don't know, and I don't want to know. That's why I want to see the last movie. But I really hope Zendaya gets to kill him. On that uplifting note.
Yeah. Okay.
So I guess it's safe to say, with the three of us overall, enjoyable. Might be depend on whether you like the first one. I kind of agree with Ryan on that one. If you didn't like the first one, this one isn't going to convince you.
So, oh, no, this one's way more boring than the first one.
Oh, it wasn't boring.
It was more boring than the first one. It wasn't boring. There were times when I was like, is it done yet? But like I said, it's a middle movie, so I'm giving it middle movie criteria.
Okay.
I still want to see the last one.
Yeah, this will be a cool box set to purchase someday.
Mm. Yes, I still encourage anybody who saw the first one to watch this one so that when the third one comes out, you know what's going on. And then you'll get an ending, hopefully.
There you go.
All right, so that is it for that. Anybody?
That is it for that. Wow.
It's amazing how quickly it moves along when there's only like three of us or two of us.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We don't distract each other as much.
I could be more distracting.
But we still have to go through all of our nerd picks and everything like that, our geek picks, so there's still time.
Not every episode doesn't
need to be a marathon.
Did we talk about the Oscars last time?
No, because the Oscars just happened last weekend.
Oh, I don't have any concept of time. What did everybody think about the Oscars?
They
besides
happened.
Godzilla winning. And I don't know. I really liked the Ryan Gosling's I'm Just Ken. That was awesome.
His performance was good. I didn't realize it, but I saw a video where they talked about it. It was a copy of an old Marilyn Monroe performance.
Yeah, Gentlemen Prefer Blondes.
Yeah.
From Diamonds Are a Girl's Best Friend.
Wow, that really shows that. But I'm an 80s kid in some ways, because I'm like, oh, they're riffing on the Madonna video for Material
Girl.
Which was
ripping off that video.
Anyways.
Okay, so apparently we need to watch Gentlemen Prefer Blondes. And I take it you guys haven't seen any other Marilyn Monroe movies. So there's a couple we should watch.
I've seen a couple. I haven't seen that
funny.
One. I just haven't seen it.
She was a good actress.
Seen it in quite some time.
Yeah.
I have a couple of them.
The one thing I will give the Oscars credit for this year is that the few times I tuned into it and it was on, like not a commercial break, the bits I caught were like the funny bits.
Yeah, there was a lot more funny bits. I didn't watch it, but it came up on YouTube and stuff. I didn't watch any of the Oscars. I don't have cable, but yeah, it was. They did a lot better job making it entertaining.
Yeah, like I tuned over, changed the channel, and there's John Cena with nothing on except for an envelope.
That was my favorite. That was so funny. Costumes are so important.
Yes.
He's gone good as a comedic actor. I like John Cena. John Mulaney, I can't remember what his award was for.
It was for sound design or something, wasn't
and
it?
Basically, it was just a big recap of the plot of Field of Dreams. Field of Dreams.
Yes, I saw that clip.
So much to the point that Kevin Costner tweeted out in response to that clip something like, yeah, that's basically it. Yeah, so they did. The Arnold Schwarzenegger and Danny DeVito moment. Like they had a lot more things that made it more enjoyable.
Well, there was the Ryan Gosling and is it Blake Lively? Was she in? Who's the woman that was in Oppenheimer?
Florence Pugh.
Is that who it was?
Emily Blunt.
Emily. Okay, I don't know. You guys are everybody's throwing out all kinds of names now. Who was the one that played the wife?
I don't know. I haven't actually seen the movie. I just know certain people who are definitely.
I think it was Emily Blunt.
Okay, I think
British?
It was two. I don't
British?
Know. It wasn't British in the movie. but she one of them, whichever one it was, presented with Ryan Gosling. They presented together, and then they were talking shit about each other's movies. He was saying, you know, that it should have been that the reason it was called Barbenheimer is that they were riding Barbie's coattails all summer.
I will say I was very disappointed at the number of awards that Barbie did not get. I haven't seen Oppenheimer and I'm not a member of the Academy and I don't know what they judge it on, but I feel like Barbie got a little bit shafted by just winning Best Song. And I think the only reason it won Best Song is because like two of the four songs or five songs were Barbie songs. So, I mean, it had pretty good odds. But like,
didn't
you can
Ryan
win
Gosling
anything else.
Win?
No.
I thought he did.
No, he won the Best Song. No, he didn't.
No. I'm pulling up the winners now.
Okay.
I don't think so. I'm pretty sure Oppenheimer basically swept everything. And that kind of annoyed me just because, and then again, I haven't seen Oppenheimer, so maybe I'm mistaken, but it makes me feel like, oh, let's squish the girl movie quick before it gets any kind of acclaim.
Emma Stone won for Poor Things, which is a, like, I've heard good things about it, but I don't know anything about it, if that makes any sense.
Yeah, I've never even heard of that movie. But anyway.
Directed by a guy named Yorgos. Yorgos Lanthimos. Mm. Man, that's
very Greek.
Yes, Greek, because I knew Yorgos. From back home at one point.
Oh, he's Yeah, he's made like some really interesting movies. Like nothing that like I love per se, but like interesting. But yeah, so
you're
anyways.
Supposed to look at what was he yeah. nominated for? Best Supporting Actor?
If it was supporting actor, then it was
Robert yeah, best Jr. supporting actor, and that
Robert,
went to Robert
Downey
Jr.
Oppenheimer, yeah, okay. And best actor went to Oppenheimer, and
yeah,
best picture I think went to Oppenheimer.
Pretty clean sweep.
And that's what, and I mean, it could just be me reading into it, but I feel like that was the "Let's Stop This Girl" movie while we can. Squish, squish, squish. They don't get any accolades, which annoyed me. But I mean, again.
You're probably not wrong, but the other thing I would add to it, and like this isn't a good thing either, is the Academy Awards always have problems with movies that don't fit into the drama box.
Yeah.
Like, and the minute, like, I would say for the most part, Barbie is a comedy, like in a lot
yeah.
of ways. It's
yeah.
not necessarily is, but that's how the old white guys in the Academy see it. Is like,
yeah.
well, it's not a serious movie, then, but it's really popular, so it should be nominated, but it shouldn't win anything. In fact,
yeah.
like,
see,
I'm
and
going
that's
through.
What, I don't know who the members of the Academy are, but if there are just a whole bunch of old white guys, then of course they're going to feel threatened by the popularity of Barbie, and they're going to want to smush it.
Well, all the actors are members of the Academy. They get to vote.
Yeah.
I don't know who the nomination committee is. Like,
yeah, but you yeah. can, like, the other thing is, though, Ryan, is, like, once you're in, you're in.
Oh, yeah. So, no,
so,
I know that.
Like,
yeah, yeah. That's
like, there's
saying.
People.
Like, there's a lot of
like,
people.
Yeah, and it's. I don't know. Like, the thing is I'd be curious to know how the movies are sent out to Academy members these days. They used to send out like DVD
get a
screeners.
Code.
Yeah,
get a
you would think
code.
So, and probably
you get it to a
like,
secure site,
watermarked. Yeah. But like, if you think about it, like if you look at the list of all the movies that are nominated for every category, right? Even Best Picture alone, we have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 movies listed for Best Picture. So, like, you would have to, like, watch all of them. And somebody did, I wish I could remember who it was, somebody did, like, a kind of an expose on the Oscars and talked to basically the general voters, like, the guys who are, like, because we all know, like, Bradley Cooper is in the Academy, but so is Stanley Lipowicz, who is, like, you know, the grip on a movie from 1985. Like, there's a lot of guys, like, the overwhelming voting capacity of the Academy is probably male, probably white, and is probably old. So it only gets slightly different as people die off, maybe.
Yeah.
I have long maintained the Oscars don't mean shit. Is the only good thing about them at this point is it means that some movies will get a little bit more visible to people out there who just watch the Oscars and may not have tried any of these movies.
Well, and I think The Boy and the Heron won for Best Animated Film, and we missed it when it was in theaters because it was only in theaters for a very short time right before Christmas when everybody's
yeah.
busy with Christmas. So I'm really hoping that it does like another quick run in the theaters because I would love to see it. So if
yeah,
anybody
Spider-Man
sees it.
Lost.
Yeah.
And Kevin saw that movie, but he saw it when he was down in Toronto for his little Christmas vacation.
Yeah. So if anybody notices in the Barrie area that it's playing somewhere, let me know. I will drive to see it. When Howl's Moving Castle was in theaters, I was living in London at the time, and I watched it twice in theaters in London. Then it stopped its run in London, but it was playing in Kitchener. So I drove to Kitchener to watch it again. So I saw it three times in theaters. And that was in the first run. And then it came out, it was re-released again, and I saw it another one or two times. I love that movie. So I really want to see The Boy and the Heron.
I'm looking at, like, all the nominations for, like, the major categories, and so many of these movies I didn't get a chance to see at all.
Yeah.
Like, some of them I legitimately wanted to see, too. Like, the Oppenheimer, I should sit down and watch that one of these days. Because I generally like Christopher Nolan's movies, other than it's probably a lot longer than it needs
to be. I didn't
even
know Robert Downey Jr. was in that movie. Yeah. Until he won. I was like, oh. Okay.
That American Fiction movie that's been nominated that I've really wanted to see too, but just haven't had a chance to.
I think when we stopped briefly in Newmarket on Friday, the Cineplex there, I think they were playing Oppenheimer again. They were rescreening it.
I think it's on Amazon.
Okay. It's even better. We can watch it at home.
Be wrong. Yeah.
And then if I get bored, I can leave. Or I can knit through it.
What? to add on to the non movie sort of news though, so answer me this, Ryan.
Okay.
Did any of the winners of the Oscars now have they now wrestled a match after they won and put somebody through a table that was lit on fire?
What?
Paul Walter Hauser, who won an Emmy and Golden Globe. He was in a miniseries called Blackbird where he plays a serial killer, apparently quite well, wrestled Matt Cardona and put him through with the help of Bubba Ray Dudley, put him through a table that was on fire. Golden Globe Emmy Award winner, Paul Walter Hauser. I believe he was on Colbert a couple weeks ago to help promote this.
Oh, jeez.
Take that, Robert Downey Jr. and Cillian Murphy. Cillian Murphy, where are you at? Why aren't you wrestling people and putting them into, like, thumbtacks?
There you go. Brent challenges you to a match.
Oh, I could take Cillian Murphy. He's like 100 pounds soaking wet.
Uh-huh.
You're supposed to back me up, dear.
Uh-huh. I'm not paying for your hospital bills.
That's why we got free health care in Canada.
Well, only for certain things.
That's why we have free health care in Canada.
If he has to have reconstructive surgery because he's missing a nose, they're not going to make it pretty. They're going to make it functional.
Is Cillian Murphy's finishing move on me the Oppenhammer?
Wah, wah, wah.
A sigh.
What have we done?
Yeah. I did like the performance of I'm Just a Ken, or I'm Just Ken.
Yeah.
That was pretty good.
Yeah.
It was good.
Where did you talk about that?
Yeah.
Yeah, but I didn't get to throw my two cents in.
Oh, okay.
That was the only thing I really watched that I liked. Well, I guess the John Cena thing was kind of funny too. But,
oh, the John Cena thing was great.
It was a good performance of that song, I thought. And like you said, to Jen and Ryan, I had no idea that Slash played on the original version of that too.
And now we apparently need to watch Gentlemen Prefer Blondes. So
apparently,
apparently.
That is it for this episode, but before we go into Geek Picks, patreon.com/truenorthnerds if you would like to help us pay for things like our hosting and our theme song and stuff like that. You can contribute by joining Patreon and join at the $3 tier. It's the only tier that we got. You get a shout out and you also get some extra stuff like the show that I do with Alex. It is called Listen to This. It is a music nerd podcast, which I will be recording with him this Friday. And to give you a hint of what you may be missing out on if you don't join on to Patreon, this week, the theme of our show is Two Truths and a Lie. So we are doing two rounds, three songs apiece, two of the songs we really like, one of the songs we do not like, and the other guy has to guess which is which. So it should be a fun episode. But for those of you who are already contributing, shout-outs go to Drew, Karina, Alex, Team Woods, who does our a nice little landing page of TrueNorthNerds.com, Mike Hammond, and our good friend Rex. So thank you all very much for contributing. It is very appreciated, and it helps keep the lights on here a little bit easier. We come to the end of the episode and Geek Picks. Who wants to go first?
Well, since I've already said what mine was, I'll go first.
Yeah, you might as well go because it'll be quick.
Yeah. So I watched Damsel. We mentioned it before when we first saw the trailer. It's got what's her name from Stranger Things, whose name I can't remember because I'm horrible with names. Stars in this movie, and she is a
Millie Bobby Brown.
That's it, Millie Bobby Brown. She is the daughter of I don't think he was a king, but a lord at least or whatever. And you know, she gets her hand. You know, there's a deal made. And she's gonna marry a prince and become royalty and help her people and all this. And when they get married, and then there's a special ceremony to honor the prince's ancestors, and they do that, and he throws her in a pit to sacrifice her to a dragon because there's an old king made a deal with a dragon. That three daughters would be sacrificed every generation to this dragon to keep the peace. And well, yeah, she's not told about this before she's thrown in the pit. And she fights back, and you have to watch the movie to find out what happens. It's a fun movie. I think you'll enjoy it, Jen.
Yay!
There's some cool looking spots, and there's some, you know, the story's decent. I watched it, and after that, I'm like, yep, this is a streaming movie. This isn't one that's like, this should have been in theaters. No, this is a movie you watch on Netflix.
I plan on watching it on Netflix.
There you go. It's one of those. It's better than the old, you know, it's not a made for TV or, you know, that caliber. And I'd say it's better than a straight to DVD. But this was a made for streaming. So yeah, I would say, if you're sitting around the house on a Sunday afternoon, you look outside and you see there's snow on the ground again, you're like, I don't want to leave the house. I'm closing the blinds and I'm just going to become one with my couch. Might as well watch Damsel.
All right. I will do that next time I need to be one with my couch.
Next.
Jen.
Okay. what should my pick be? Oh, I don't know if I did this or not, but I've been watching a new version of Nailed It on Netflix, and they decided to go like a baking competition route. So they used to be Nailed It, you'd have three contestants, and you know, you had to try to make the least worst creation, and you had a certain amount of time. There was only three in every time. But now they've tried to do, they've done it as a baking competition. So there's, I think they started off with 9, 10 bakers, and they start off it's an hour long show. They start off the show with what they call baking 101. So they have coaches who teach them how to do the technique that they're going to be judged on. And then they have to do the big impossible cake, and try to do as best as they can. So, they start off like the first episode, they learned how to level your cake so that it's flat. And then now they've gotten progressive. And the last one I just watched, which was, I think, episode 6 or 7, they are learning how to model chocolates. So every lesson is more and more complicated. And then, you know, they get judged more and more, harshly, for lack of a better term, as, it progresses until the one person wins like $10,000 or something like that, or I don't know how much, 100,000, whatever. Anyway, I love Nailed It. And I didn't know if I'd like the baking competition model, but I know I'm invested in these competitors. And I'm like, I've got my favorite and he's still in the running. So, it's really fun. So if you like Nailed It or baking competition shows, I strongly recommend that you watch this on Netflix. Berent?
Oh, now I gotta actually pick one.
Yep. Sucker.
I was debating between, like, two different things, too.
Use them both. Eeny, meeny, miny, pick one. go with that one.
This is terrible podcasting etiquette.
Why should we start being good?
Use
now?
Your noun. As I always say to you, use your noun.
I'm going to give a pretty solid shout out to a comic book that we have referenced before, but it's coming to an end of its first story arc, and I really think people should check it out, especially with the next one showing up. That comic book is Transformers from Daniel Warren Johnson and Image Comics. This book is just awesome. The latest issue just came out the week before we released this episode, and the nice thing about it is it leaves you guessing a little bit, or at least it leaves me guessing a little bit. Like, there's a bunch of, like, little mysteries thrown in this. Like, what's happened to Megatron? Why is Starscream the leader of the Decepticons? Or is he? And
he likes the kids, though.
He's only the leader as long as they listen to him.
Which, judging by the previews of the next next issue... that
is
might
it
be
much longer.
The art is also pretty fantastic to it. I'm curious. There's another artist who's going to be taking it over for at least the next story arc. So I'm curious. And you guys should give it actually that whole Energon universe on a whole. Like this week, the third issue of Cobra Commander comes out this week. Ooh. And I'm chomping at the bit to read it. Hasn't come into the store yet, so I couldn't do it during lunch.
The graphic novel, the first graphic novel for Void Rivals is out now.
Yep.
That's the first five issues, I think it is. Five or six.
Six.
Yeah. But, yeah. There's a panel in this latest issue of Transformers where it's like... In the background, he's written, you know, it's like all big bold action letters. Just like, it just says, you know the song. And it's like, yeah, I do. I know the song. And then you start hitting that song in your head as you finish reading the action that's going on. It's like, yeah.
So, yeah. And comics in general. Come to Big B Barry. Mm-hmm. Watch our videos on Tuesdays. Ryan and I talk about comics and what's coming out on Wednesday. So follow Big B Barry.
I heckle in the comments.
On social media. With that being said.
Yeah. And I heckle in real life.
With that being said, that brings us to the end of this episode. Where can people follow you on the Instagrams, Jen?
You caught her off guard.
Jen?
You can follow me on Instagram at True North Nerds, although sorry?
Keep going.
Can you hear me?
Yeah, we're listening.
Yes, you can. I guess the lag kicked back in.
Oh.
Yeah, I got lagging again. Oh, well, thank you. So you can find me on Instagram at True North Nerds, although I don't update that very much. You guys need to help me out with that a bit. And you can follow me at Dolls and Ponies if you want to see pictures of all of the cool toys that I collect and the fun Barbies and I find and things that I find thrifting. I apparently have started collecting 80s stuffed animals, and now I need a place to put them. I found a Kodak Colorkin. Last time we went, he's so cute and yellow. and I don't know where to put them. But anyway, now I have one of those. So yeah. And if you like knitting, you can follow me at Nesembria_knits. You can see what I've been knitting.
Nice.
Ryan.
You can find me here on this podcast and sometimes posting to True North Nerds, but you can find me posting all kinds of toy stuff over at Tales from Collectiverse, where Ed Campbell and I post our new toy finds and toy purchases. And then you can hear us every month do an episode where we talk about collectibles and toys. Once a month we do a new episode of Tales from the Collectiverse, and it's just usually us having fun talking about toys. So, yeah, there you go. Where can we find you, Brent?
This is my main thing, but as previously mentioned, on Patreon, where I'm also doing Listen to This. And as well, I'm going to mention this because if I mention it, it will make it even more real. There is a secret show in the works.
It is another
collaboration with another podcast, a friend of the show. We have our first meeting tomorrow night to kind of work out the nuts and bolts of what we're doing. So I probably won't hear about it or see it, in quite a while from now, because the idea is it's going to be a mini series and all done at once. But I figure if I kind of put a little bit of it out there, it means that like he and I actually have to like get this thing done. So, because somebody like Julian might remind me that like, oh yeah, what about that thing? Like, oh yeah.
Well, Julian's still like 3 years behind, so
oh, that's not going to hear this. Very true.
Really?
Yeah, he started from the beginning.
Oh, but we weren't very good in the beginning.
He was asking Brent the other day about your guys's, was it your trip, your cruise? Chicago trip or something. So I think your first trip to Chicago.
The first Chicago trip in 2019?
Yeah.
We got better. He should listen to our now stuff. It's better.
I've suggested that, but apparently that's not his thing, so eh. He should do what Jason and Arnold did and double up, do one old and one new.
Yeah.
There you go.
Alrighty, so that's it for this episode. Thank you very much for listening. We'll be back in 2 weeks with something.
Ghostbusters!
Oh, yeah, that
and is... And Silicon! Double up!
Did you just make a Baby Got Back reference?
Maybe.
What?
I would have said, did you just make a sort of Mix-a-Lot reference instead of a Baby Got Back reference, but yes. Yes, I did.
Thanks for listening, everybody. We'll see you in 2 weeks.
Bye. Bye. Wait, you didn't say Obama's Day.
Oh, Obama's Day.
Set your phasers to sexy. Thank you for listening to the True North Nerds. You can find us at TrueNorthNerds.com or on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram at True North Nerds. To contact one or any of the nerds, you can email them at TrueNorthNerds@gmail.com. Theme music provided by Kirby Crackle. You can find more of their music at KirbyCrackleMusic.com. If you like this show, please go to your podcast app of choice and rate and review us. Your phasers are sexy. It's the way you read your books that are